FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
It's John Potter and Jay Biggs every Saturday morning from 9 until noon, live and local at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
And you can check out that podcast. Just go and click the podcast link at 991fmtalk.com about an hour after each and every episode is over. So also find us on Facebook. Just search for Live and Local with John and Jay. But right now we are live and local in the studio with Catherine Kelly from the iSchool in Incline Village and brand new in Carson City as well. And you are joined by, your name again?
Nikki.
Nikki. Okay. Nikki, what is your title there at the iSchool?
I'm the director.
You're the director. Okay. So we've got you and Catherine in here today to talk about the brand new campus that you have that doesn't even have a sign on it yet in Carson City. So we want to make people aware of just the fact that they have this available there in the Carson Valley and other rural areas as well. We want to talk to these folks out in Smith and Mason Valley, also, you know, out in Silver Springs, because Carson City, I mean, if you think about it, your children's education should be the most important thing, you know, growing up and, you know, putting emphasis on that. And just a small drive, even just to not have your child involved with a lot of the stuff that's happening in public school, which is bad. And the iSchool kind of, I guess you could say they cut a lot of that stuff off. So I want you guys to talk to the people out there and tell them exactly why it is you would pick, let's just say, the iSchool over versus any other school. What are the advantages? What are the reasons you would want to bring your kids to these schools?
Well, like you asked in the last hour, what does this region need for that we don't have? And I would say in education, we definitely need some alternatives. iSchool is, our niche is to raise kids, teaching them how to think, not what to think. We want to raise kids who are not taught that critical race theory, who are taught that they are either one of two pronouns,
the list
goes on. We are a private school, so we get no public funding, no federal or state funding, and we've had a huge amount of support from the greater Carson, Minden, Gardnerville, Reno area. Parents feel that this is really important for their kids to take part in.
Now, one of the things I was noticing here, we have a little questionnaire you fill out when you show
up
here.
Yeah, I saw that questionnaire. I was told not to bring up sex toys.
Yes. And what do you think the first thing he says is?
Well,
anyways.
Why did you write that down? I wasn't going to ask you about that.
Anyways. All right. Well, okay. This is what I really want to ask about.
Love it.
Because you might need a vaccine or a vaccination after this, but vaccinations and masks are not needed at the school. Is this right? This is something that's different compared to public schools.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's something that we feel is a choice between families and their doctors. And we didn't put a stipulation one way or the other during all the mandates.
You're letting parents decide for themselves what to do with their own children?
I know. It's
this
a
sounds
novel
really
concept,
weird.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, on top of that, you don't need it. Well, the masks have kind of been eased a little bit in some of the public schools. But it's still, though, it's just, you know, the fact that kids have to wear those things, it's so ridiculous.
And there's always the threat that it will be
come back
anytime
right. That
they decide that they're going to implement that. So.
We were talking about it with Catherine earlier. You know, it's possible. It could, you know, we could have another pandemic or who knows? Maybe Sleepy Joe will wake up and want us to wear masks again. Who knows? But that being said, let's talk more about the iSchool itself and why you're going to Carson City. So you've got a demand. Obviously, folks have come to you and said, hey, we would love to have you in Carson Valley. And so you've got this brand new campus. Tell people, what does the I in iSchool stand for exactly?
The I stands for individualized education. I believed when I started iSchool that the one-size-fits-all model fits literally no one. And so
like
we have 50 kids, each one of which is on a different path to college or career success. Our kids, when they graduate, and all of them graduate without need for remediation, they become Navy SEALs. They go to Harvard. They go to Job Corps. They go to TMCC. They literally find their niche in life, and our job is to help them find that niche and get them on that track soon.
Is this K through 12?
It is K through 12, thanks to Nikki expanding this year. We used to be just high school.
I am personally a product of private school. My parents thought it was important, and I was in private school from fourth grade until I graduated as a senior, 12th grade. You know, I was kind of privileged growing up. That money's gone, by the way. but I'll tell you some things about private schools. Mine, you're probably the same way. You don't let kids take over the school. My private school was strict. We had uniforms. I had to go with a blazer on, with a tie, with a crest on the coat pocket there.
Do you have a dress code?
We do have a dress code. I don't want to see anyone's underwear.
Oh, well, so pull up your pants. Stop sagging.
No hoodies, no hats, that kind of thing.
But it was the kind of school where if you were a couple of minutes late to class, they'd look at you like you killed five people.
Nikki has that look.
and it was a great education. You know, on days when the public schools were closed, which, by the way, seems to happen more and more now. They take a lot of time off for this week and that week and teacher conferences and things like that. When the public schools were closed, we were open. And we stayed in class until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
That's what it was like for private school for me. It kind of kills me that the politicians who oppose school choice send their kids to private school.
Isn't that interesting?
You know?
Yeah, right.
So see, the thing with John... His 50-year class reunion was this year. His 50th.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
He's old.
You're a very bad man.
Half a century. Half a century.
No, but I was very lucky to have that experience. I will say there was a huge problem here. It was all male. No women. No girls. No girls.
Was it a co-ed school? And there was
No, it wasn't. It was a private boys' school.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
They called it college preparatory, especially in the later classes. Are you that intense with education at your school?
We are for the kids who want to go to Harvard, but we're not if that's not their career path. Everybody is on a different track.
So you obviously thought there was a hole in the market. There was a need for a school like yours.
Yes.
Okay. For those reasons, as you spoke there.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say the difference in private schools today is now we confiscate the cell phones that you might not have had.
Your tuition, right? How much is tuition?
Tuition is $950 a month. We operate on a standard school calendar, but our skiers are often April to November. So they'll take off a few months in the winter, and we work through the summer for them. And we don't ask for tuition a year in advance.
All right. You have a dress code for students.
We have I don't want to see their underwear, and be respectful to your teachers.
That sets you apart from public school right there.
That sounds like pretty much every kid I see when I drop my kids off at Damani.
Yeah. Yes, and we actually enforce the dress code, which is also very different from public school. So if you walk through our door and I can see your midriff, I can see your underwear, I'm going to call your parents immediately. I'm going to offer you some of the clothing that we have set aside in the back, and we're going to figure it out, but you're not just going to parade around.
I got to ask, too, speaking of clothing, I don't want to go off topic, but why do young people now wear Pee Wee Herman suits? I mean, the ones who graduate from college, who have good jobs and everything, they're Pee Wee Herman suits. I ask in total respect.
I don't know. I have no clue. But although that does sound like something that my kid would wear, like they just had their prom a couple weeks ago, and he was wearing those high riding pants and stuff. So anyway,
you really confiscate the phones, though.
We really do.
That's a good thing.
It's a huge distraction otherwise.
Huge.
Well, yeah, because kids are on social media. They're also, I know this for a fact, that they're texting between each other answers to questions.
Yes.
And they're going on Google, you know, so it's like, it's kind of like dumb learning, right? It's like people were doing during the pandemic, sitting at home. I know for a fact my kids were doing this. They would be online for 3 hours a day, and I'm going, how are you only on school for 3 hours a day, but school's 8 hours? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going on Google answering the questions. I'm like, what? No, that's not how you're supposed to do it. You know, but it's almost like you can't stop it unless you take the phones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you this, though. Nikki, do you have a big ruler that you just
I don't have a big ruler. Okay. I do have what my husband calls the teacher voice and the
Uh-oh.
Look. So that takes the place of the ruler.
Now, let me ask you, ladies, did you have kids yourselves?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, too. Is this born out of you being unsatisfied with the offerings in public schools? And is that what triggered you?
Nikki is a homeschool mom of six.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yes. And I started iSchool because I wanted my kids to be homeschooled, but not at home.
Interesting.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, I would ask why your kids don't go to the iSchool, but that would be about $6,000.
Well, actually, they do.
The last two of my six do.
I have twin girls who will be 13 next month, and they both attend iSchool.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay. So, you know, just if folks want to get involved, one of the things you said was that you do it year-round because you have some skiers and stuff like that. So let's just say right now, if somebody has a kid in public school and they're thinking to themselves, you know, I am not happy with how this first semester went, because we're just going into fall break for Washoe County schools. If they weren't happy how that first semester went, where would they start if they contacted you right now and said, I'm thinking about switching to the iSchool in Carson City? How would that change their curriculum? How would it go? Because I know for a fact when you move between different states and towns and stuff like that, things can sometimes be off with what kids are learning.
That's a good question. We have half of our kids are in Carson and half are all over the country and some internationally. So I would say a parent should go to our website, iSchools.us, and see if we're a good fit for them. We're really not a good fit unless the student is motivated and wants to learn. I mean, for that kind of student, we're a candy store.
What about class sizes?
1, 2, 7.
Now, that's a controversial thing with the public schools. They've expanded the class size to some high number.
Yeah, our largest class size is... At this point, I believe 10.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Typically, though, it's either individual or smaller groups of, you know, 3, 4, 5.
My private school, the senior class, 13. We had each senior had 2 full pages in the yearbook.
Oh.
And here's another benefit to being a small school and small class sizes. I was president of the movie club. I was also the editor of the school paper. I had like 3 jobs while I was in this school because, well, you needed it, and there weren't many kids to do all this.
It was preparing you for radio and to be able to survive.
Yep. Exactly.
But then again, I didn't have a date with a girl till after college.
Well, that's okay. That's okay, though.
It's okay.
No, it's not.
Hey, I had my first proper date last night at 40 years old.
Don't get him started.
Right. Anyways, all right. Well, so one more time, ladies, please tell people where they can go if they're interested in being involved in the iSchool. I want to make sure they know exactly where they can go as soon as you get off the air.
Give us a call at 775-200-5256 or go to the website, which is iSchools.us.
iSchools.us, and that is a Carson location that is brand spanking new. They're still accepting applicants, right?
Year-round.
And you know, there we go, year-round. And then in Incline Village, you're also still accepting folks, or are you at capacity?
We lost our lease in Incline.
Oh, wow.
That was the chance to open in Carson. So boy. Better. Our Incline kids are now commuting down to Carson.
I was going
to
say, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
Boy. All right. Well, good luck. Ladies, seriously, it's been nice having you in. Of course, that was Catherine Kelly and Nikki Goddard,
yes.
Right? Okay, I said it right.
Yeah. You did.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us from the iSchool in Carson City. And we're going to be back right here on Live and Local with John and Jay next on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
John Potter and Jay Biggs, live and local every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on, oh, wow, who are these guys?
Well, we have got the Reenies in.
The Reenies, right. Yeah, okay, cool.
Reenies from Reenie Insurance.
I didn't know, guy. All right, cool.
Yeah,
that's
remember
awesome.
I talked.
More the merrier.
Well, remember we were talking at the beginning of the show about the rates going up and how we were going to have them in here this morning, so.
And they made a beeline here. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
how you doing? Now, we'll introduce you as the Reenie Insurance Agency, right?
Right.
Yeah, Kevin Reenie.
And my wife, Suzanne.
Yes, and his better half.
Better half.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, absolutely. So
I did bring that up about insurance rates because my story is my wife has everything with one well-known insurance company, a house, rental house, two vehicles, four things with this one insurance company. We are the safest drivers in Reno. I don't go, she and I, we never go a mile over the speed limit. Never do. Never had any problems with the properties either. But like clockwork, they raise that rate every single year. I don't get it why insurance companies do this. You're chasing away your safest customers, the customers who don't cost you anything. And there's no reason, really. They'll give you an excuse. I bet the excuse this time is, oh, inflation. Inflation. Before the inflation, there was some other excuse. I can't stand it that these insurance companies, like clockwork, you can expect it. The next bill for the next year is going to be at, what, $100, $200 more?
$100 or $200.
Yeah, guess again.
You know, this is the big
thing,
John. The main reason why I wanted to make sure that I had you on was because you had told me that we were going to see a possibly up to 45% increase on some policies. And you sent me this screenshot, and you marked out the guy's name, obviously, just to keep it confidential. But you showed me how his rates went from, what was it, Kevin, like $1,700 or $1,800?
$1,600 a year. And granted, this is a Tesla X model, which is one of the higher end. And it went from $1,600 to $5,600 a year.
Now, that's because these parts, like these windshields that have electrical equipment in them and all these parts, cost a fortune to replace.
Right, the batteries.
Right. And the batteries, half the car, half the cost of the car. And as you said before, you were asking
why. But the windshield is high tech now. And I hear if that cracks, you've got to spend a fortune to replace it.
$3,000 to $5,000.
Glass recalibrated.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a true story. And it's about $1,000 to recalibrate.
To answer your question on why your rates are going up, and I'm not going to sit there and say inflation. People, let's just put it this way. This last hurricane that hit Florida, this is going to impact all of us here. Many of my carriers operate here and in Florida. So they're going to take tremendous losses to make up their money or pay for it. They're going to be hitting us up. It's coming our way because of this.
Kevin, when they raise the rate for no reason, that's a reason. When they raise it for no reason, they know that you're not going to go through the trouble of trying to find another insurance company. I did that for a while. You know, every time they raise the rate, I went to another insurance company. It's kind of a hassle and everything. But there's a lot of people who won't bother doing that.
Right.
You know, your older folks who don't want to go or don't even know about going through the process of getting another insurance company to back you. And so that's one reason they're doing this. They know a certain percentage of the public isn't going to bother trying to find a better deal.
Yeah, it is quite a process. If you have, you know, several cars and homes and rental properties, it's just a lot of information. And a lot of companies now, if you shop a lot, they won't give you as good as rate as if you're with for a while. Like I have some carriers, if you come from another carrier and you've been with someone else for 10 years, they're going to give you their best rate. It's a longevity credit. They like it, people that don't shop. So, yeah, a lot of them have a built-in credit for that.
Now, you're independent.
Yes.
How many insurance companies can you go through and offer to somebody?
Nevada and California, I can access 25 at this time.
25 insurance companies.
Yes.
And that's nationwide. And so, and it's interesting that you say that, like, the Florida thing is going to impact us, because it is, you know, and that's going to hit homeowners, or not homeowners rates necessarily, but, like, probably renters insurance and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And because we have to incur some of those costs right here, because it's spread out all over the U.S. So, and this really, it's funny, because this goes along with, I was at a store the other day with my daughter and her friend. And I thought that her friend was going to pickpocket something. And I told her, I said, don't you do that. And she's like, well, why, you know, like, even if I did take it, you know, Walmart has all this money. And I was like, you know, no. I said, this is not how this works. What happens is people steal And then enough people steal over time, they have to start hiring more people to come in and watch and security. That costs money, so that drives the prices up. And so it's like some people just don't think about how there's a cause and effect on almost everything.
There's an increase in crime. There's an increase in car theft, and neighborhood crime is skyrocketing right now.
Yeah.
So again, that, as Jay was just talking about, will raise the rates overall too.
Car theft is really high. Really, really one of the big factors in California and Nevada. But I brought a little list with me and to answer some questions on pretty much what's driving a lot more of this. Collision claim severity from 2020, the average claim was 3,700 a year. It's now up to 5,000. That's increased quite a bit, and this is due to the new cars. A lot more bodily injury claims, a lot of fraudulent claims, because people put in claims when they're really not injured just to, you know, say, my neck hurts, here it goes again. So they get a lot of that. The Vegas area's got a lot more than we do here. And then you're going to see a lot more uninsured motorist claims. There's a lot of people that can't afford to go to the insurance, so you're going to see a lot of people, you're going to get hit by it without.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines right now. It's 775-884-9910. Insurance rant or insurance question. The Reenies are here and they can answer. But we're going to break for Fox News.
That's right. It is live and local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media. KKFT.
It's live and local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. And we are live in the studio this morning with Reenie Insurance.
You guys, John Potter and Jay Biggs here with the Reenies are in the studio. Kevin Reenie, tell me again why the Florida flood disaster is going to raise our insurance rates.
Well, a lot of the carriers that do business throughout the United States, mostly home insurance, they're exposed in every state. They write everywhere.
But that was Florida. Why wouldn't they raise the rates in Florida where they have these natural disaster issues? Why wouldn't they do it only there? Why are we picking up part of the cost of this?
Well, it's no different than California and their fires. That's the same thing. We're going to end up paying the overall cost. The insurance companies, overall
loss.
Seems
a bit unfair, though.
It does. It really does. But it's just how it works. It's all one big pool of money, and they all draw from it as they need it. One state keeps the other one alive.
I never understood that. Yeah. I mean, it happened there.
Well.
And when you're building a house by the ocean, you're more susceptible to things like this.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
You would think it would deter people, you know, like for instance, Florida, right? Hurricane insurance has got to be insane, I would think. Maybe, I don't, is there such a thing, Kevin?
People, they had a really interesting thing on there. They think that the flood insurance is automatically included in a home policy. It's not. So there's a lot of people that are going to go without getting their home replaced. Literally thousands. Flood is never included in the homeowner insurance policy. It's a separate policy that needs to be purchased over and above.
Oh, you're kidding me. No. Okay, well, I guess that makes sense because, like, if you're living in a floodplain or places like I want to say South Meadows area, mm-hmm. some of those people were concerned about having flood insurance because the water raising in some of those little bayous and stuff around those homes. So I guess, yeah, if you're not thinking about that, even right here in northern Nevada, maybe that is something to think about, even though they keep saying we have a drought right now. Maybe we won't anymore in 2024 when we get enough liberal tears that flow down from California. The drought will be over. But who knows? Maybe you should get involved in getting yourself some flood insurance because you just never know.
It's very, very pricey, Jay. The people out here where Washoe Lake is, that's a typical flood zone. You've seen it come over 395 several times,
yes,
I'm sure.
Just
many.
2 years ago.
Yes. And all those homes, anyone who buys a home out there, the lender makes them get flood insurance because they're in that area.
Wow.
So, and it's flood insurance usually costs three times more than the average home policy.
Yikes.
Very, very pricey.
Wow.
Yes.
What about wildfire insurance?
That's what you purchase home insurance for. That's when you look on your policy, it says dwelling. That's what it is. So your every homeowner policy is just strictly made for fire insurance is what they really call it. Anything over and above, your personal belongings, liability, they're all on the policy. But lenders want the fire insurance because it covers the structure.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. That is insane.
Phone lines open 775-884-9910. I can think of a ton of questions about the insurance industry.
Well, you know, we've talked about homes here. We talked a little bit about cars, but I want to just go back to cars one more time here with you, Kevin, because, I mean, there's going to be more, probably, I would say, car owners out there on the road than there are homeowners right now listening. So let's talk about cars, because if someone gets in an accident, full coverage insurance, for instance, right? What are some things that folks aren't thinking about when it comes to full coverage insurance that aren't covered necessarily? Maybe some stuff. Would it be like flood damage to your car?
That's covered under your comprehensive.
Okay. All right, so that is covered. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm just trying to think of maybe some ins and outs on insurance and things that people wouldn't be thinking about that normally aren't covered.
No,
there's things you can do to your policy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
One thing with a flooded car, once water gets in the cab of that or the passenger portion of that car, its title is void and has to be on a recovery title or however the state
salvage
puts it.
Title.
Salvage title. Yeah.
Oh,
yes. So it has to be reported.
This is why all those Katrina cars were so cheap afterwards. Okay, that
but a
makes
lot
sense.
Of times people don't know what they're buying and they find out later it was in a flood.
Right.
So how does that happen?
Insurance companies can run a VIN number off a car and they could tell if the title's been salvaged because it has to be reported to the DMV. And I have people buy salvaged cars all the time and it's really hard to get insurance on them, full coverage, because the insurance companies will only offer usually about 30% of the car's value. When you think you're going to get the blue book value, no, they've seen that it's been in a total loss somewhere along the line. You're not going to get hardly anything for it. So it's really not wise to put full coverage on a salvage car thinking you're going to get it replaced if something happens.
Wow. Now, does the insurance, does it change necessarily the business as far as like what kind of coverages are coming out? Or is there any sort of new kind of coverages that people are getting now that they didn't used to, let's say, a couple years back or something like that? Or does insurance just kind of stays the same as far as
coverages? It stayed the same. There's stuff you could do to tweak your policy, like lower your comprehensive part of your policy, which covers damaged glass, things you have no control of. That's the cheapest part of your policy. So say if your deductible is 500, to move that down to even 100 is very minimal. I mean, I recommend everyone to do it.
Right. Yeah, everybody should.
So,
is he pointing at you?
No. I don't know, maybe.
Do you have any good news? You probably heard on the way over on the radio station, Jay had sushi troubles last night.
His wife was just talking to me about this.
I had I had terrible issues after I got 7-Eleven coffee. I don't understand why coffee shops don't have a restroom, because that is make-you-go juice. I don't get it. That's playing a dangerous game.
If you got to go that bad, apply for a job. Tell me you got to use the bathroom.
In all seriousness, do you have any good news about some great thing happening in the insurance world?
You know, you asked me this about a month ago, John, and I thought about it, and I still... I really can't tell you anything positive right now about it. I wish I could. I'd love to come on here and say, hey, I got great news. Guess what? Your rates are going down, but they'd throw me out of here. I'd be fired.
Should everybody just get a smart car?
I don't think that's too smart.
No,
but,
I don't
but
either.
You can pick and choose out of 25 companies. So I like the idea of going to an independent agent like yourself. Mm-hmm. You walk into one of the big box insurance company club agents and they only deal with that one company. You can really choose from 25.
Boy, when I did my DMV services at AAA, they did everything to try to get me and I said, nope, I love Rini Insurance. We were all good there.
Some companies, they have a different appetite than others. I mean, I actually have carriers that want the DUI drivers that's good business for them.
They want the DUI drivers?
As an agent, you know, I like it only because if people cancel their policy, we've got to pay back a commission. You've got to start it all over. The people with the DUI, they have to maintain their insurance for 3 years or they lose their license. So it's good business for me. I like it because
it's like a guaranteed
they're not
contract.
Going anywhere. Exactly.
Is that the SR-22?
Wow. Okay. So
that's exactly what it is.
SR-22. All right. That makes sense. Well, you know, Kevin, it's been fun this morning. You know, if people really would like to get in touch with you and get covered by your insurance, how would they do so?
My number in Nevada, 775-626-0836. And if you want to call my cell, work cell, 805-660-3500. 3514, or even shoot me a text on that number, and I'll gladly return your call.
And where's your office at?
My office is in Virginia City.
Nice.
Visit there not quite too much, but I do work from home quite a bit, but I can meet.
How's Virginia City doing?
It's good.
It's better after last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. If you could even get to it.
Well, yeah, there were some bad bike accidents on the grade.
Two fatals up there on the 341 last week with the bikes in town. Yeah, it was crazy. But, he's located right there at the top of, if you're ever on Six Mile Canyon coming from Silver Springs and you're going towards Virginia City, when you get to the T intersection, you have no choice but to either hit a building or turn right or left. He's the building. You'll see it. It says Rini Insurance right downtown there in Virginia City. Thank you guys for coming on this morning.
Thank you.
And absolutely, we will have you back on, I'm sure, in the future. But we've got more to talk about this morning right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
Live streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. KKFT 99.1.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay and Blake, even in the studio this morning on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 on out there in the Smith and Mason Valley.
Message John Potter with Jay Biggs and Blake. You can message and also Craig out in Carson City. Message us on our Facebook page, Live and Local with John and Jay. Welcome to Facebook. A person who does not appreciate your humor will contact you shortly.
Oh, believe me, they will. Oh, they will.
Quick.
So we talked last Saturday about your new career, one of your jobs, an Uber driver.
I'm still trying to figure out if it's the career or the job. I tell people the radio is the career. It might be the job. It might be the career.
So you've done 2 weeks of Uber. How's it going?
1 week, actually. One week. Yeah, okay. So Friday to Friday was my 1 week, first week. I will say... that I started off very strong. My first trip was something very small, just an airport drive from somebody from the Tesla dealership. But my second trip was a guy out to Winnemucca. And so that was pretty cool.
Now, wait a minute. You were complaining about that, weren't you?
No.
You had to drive all the way back in an empty car?
No, I love driving.
Oh, okay.
No, I actually, it was great. It was like, it was harmony for a little bit. You know, I get to hang out by myself.
We're opposites. I hate to drive, and you love it.
Oh, I love it.
The problem with things like that, with deadheading back like that, you know, if something came up and somebody at Tesla wanted a pickup or somebody in Lovelock, he could pick that up. Whereas if you take...
Yes.
A ride to the California side at South Lake, you can't get another ride until you're back on the Nevada side.
In Nevada.
Yep.
Yeah. I did. It's funny. I picked up a girl the other day from the Peppermill, took her to South Lake Tahoe. And when I got to her house in South Lake Tahoe and dropped her off, I couldn't log on. I'm trying to go, why is this? And then as soon as I got over the border.
State line?
Yeah, state line. Yeah. There I am. I'm online. So it knew.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you're in California. It can't take a ride.
But you do look on the way back if your car's
empty. Just keep it on. You keep the app on, and it dings you. And there's so for instance, when I came back from South Lake the other day, I got a ding coming in to Carson City, and I got a guy who needed to go to his parole officer in Carson City, so I took him there. So there's a lot of things. Number one, the second day I did it, I was extremely blessed. Let's just say that, because I started working at the Miss USA pageant over at the GSR. And, they were all flying in.
Good timing, my man.
I know. They were all flying in. It was their last day before they went on what's called lockdown for this week, because they're locked down doing events. They can't even leave the hotel. But these girls, it was funny. They wanted to go and get coloring books at Walmart on East 2nd Street. And I looked at them and I said, so you want me to take you over to the East 2nd Street Walmart and like let you out and just go walk around? And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Maybe I should like go with you. And they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of the
what a good driver.
So I literally logged off and walked Miss Massachusetts, Miss Miss Washington and Miss DC.
What a good Samaritan.
I know.
Why? They wanted coloring books?
They wanted coloring books. Well, they're stuck in a hotel. They're stuck in a hotel. And yeah, I know. And I told him, I said, I can take you to a place in the mall. They have like the adult coloring books that have, no, John, not like that. I mean, like with like just different designs that are harder to do. And they were like, no, we like the Hello Kitty stuff.
They sound very bored to me.
I will tell you, John, I mean, these girls are what I think guys look at and call tens.
They're
unachievable. They're unachievable. These girls don't date. They don't have any life like that. They are all business. And let me tell you what, you will appreciate this.
I thought the chaperone was with them all the time. They can
not until the next day. The day that they come in, they're on their own. And that's why I guess was doing it. But the next day they are all on lockdown. But anyways, that being said, what I will say is you will all find this very interesting. It's one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up. Was Miss Massachusetts is in the car, right? Yeah. Well, what is in Massachusetts? Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
What do you think I asked her about?
Lobsters.
No. Oh, my God.
Cannabis. Buses.
No. Oh, my God. No. I asked, yes. Okay, hold on. Yes, I did. Craig's pretty much right. I asked her about Martha's Vineyard and having the illegals there and what she thought about that.
That happened.
Oh, my. Boy, I have never heard a more proper non-answer in my entire life to where she went into full pageant mode as soon as I asked that. And no. I mean, she didn't answer anything, but she felt me, she basically left me feeling like she had just answered it in the most proper way possible.
Only Jay would ask a beauty pageant contestant a political question.
Right there.
Well, she's so proper in representing Martha's Vineyard, and she's like, oh, yeah, I represent there. And I'm like, oh, how much time you got?
I think you killed your chances right there.
I don't know. I wanted
another pizza
chances.
Joint.
I want to, no, dude. Let me tell you what, right now. The girl I hung out with last night and had sushi, that girl is. She's got a good heart and she's extremely pretty.
Good for her.
So I
happy yeah, for you, man.
I'm gonna yeah.
John, you said that you don't like driving.
No, I don't.
Man,
like to drive.
I just picture you like sitting in traffic, just at a complete halt, just smiling and just ecstatic and
tell
happy
you,
to be there.
I used to kind of like it, but the drivers now. I couldn't believe yesterday some guy I'm not talking about running the red light. Mm-hmm. I mean the red light was there for 5 seconds.
Just ignored
it. Zipped right through it. No, I don't enjoy it. I don't trust any of the drivers out there. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't.
And I drive the speed limit and everybody lines up behind me.
Well, hey
right,
John,
like you're going too slow.
You remember yes. that we have a mutual acquaintance that will not drive in Sparks. Will not go to Sparks. Remember?
It's Sparks specifically?
Oh, yes. Well, and John knows who I'm talking
remind
about.
Remind me. No, I...
CG.
I kind of...
Your previous
CG.
Co-host?
He has no clue.
My previous co-host. Okay.
Oh.
That's right. Why do you have to bring that up?
we were trying to forget. Anyway. All right. Well, there's that. Somebody won't actually drive.
Craig likes to stir up trouble.
I do.
Man,
I love it.
Poking the wound there.
You know, it's live, local, and controversial.
Is that a scab? Let me rip that off real quick.
I know, right?
So let me ask you this question, because I was kind of blown away by this. How much have you made in 1 week driving Uber?
Almost $1,000
after
now,
taxes.
Yeah, this is they don't take taxes out at the beginning. So
$1,000.
They don't take taxes out at all.
A week.
But here's the yeah they don't. But if you save all your receipts and all your oil changes, all that kind of stuff, even car payments, stuff like that, you can write it off. So
yep.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I started doing math on it because it really becomes a math equation at this point. I get about 30 to 35 gallons or 35 miles per gallon. So a gallon's about 550 is what I look at. So in an hour's time, I can only drive. You can really only drive in 60 minutes up to like 60 to 70 miles. I mean, is there really any more unless you go over the speed limit? So I look at it like 2 gallons of gas per hour. That is $11 in gas per hour. If I'm averaging right now, I'm averaging about $34 an hour when I take a look at it on paper. So take away that $11. So that's $23 an hour, basically,
there,
for sitting.
There
bar.
Are other car costs. You know, at gas stations used to be free. Now it's $1.50 to get air at the gas station.
Go
you know
to Big
why?
O Tires, it's still free.
Inflation.
Oh, my.
Oh.
It's wow. Inflation.
Yeah, when I was driving for Uber and Lyft,
you're just going to ignore
year,
that joke, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. When I was driving yeah. Uber and Lyft for the first year, I did $50,000 the first year. And that was part-time
wow.
between 25 and 30 hours a week. After I got off my day job, I'd go out driving for five or six hours a night, and that was it.
What are you doing here then?
Why'd you quit?
No, believe me, he's an engineer, man. He's doing a lot better than that. Whoa. But what I will say, hold on.
Not in this market.
That was a joke, folks.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Abandoned ship.
Yeah, abandoned ship. But be honest with you. I mean, you can look at I'll show you, John. I think I did. My app, I worked it was like something like 19 hours total. And to make $1,000, you know, I mean, like you start...
You did $1,000 worth of wear and tear on your car, though?
No.
And the nice thing is, too, with Uber and
Lyft... Money Bags is taking us to Denny's.
Hey, yeah, there we go.
With Uber and Lyft, there are perks in the app where you get percentages off on tires at certain dealerships or tire shops, oil change shops, whatever. There are some good perks in there.
Yeah, once you get to the level gold level, I think it's 500 points. Then you start getting money off of gas. Like he said, just all sorts of different. Even 7-Eleven, they give you free snacks, all sorts of good stuff.
What?
Yeah. It's Uber drivers. You get a little bit of a hook.
John, you can't use your bicycle to drive Uber.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hold on. No. He can. Nothing but bad you can news. Actually sign up now for Uber. Uber Eats.
Uber Eats.
You can do Uber Eats on a bicycle.
Slap a basket on there.
No excuse not to work, Northern
ring,
Nevada.
Ring.
All right. More confusion and excitement next week right here, live and local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.